Hi, this is Lance Piantagini of MagisterP.com, and welcome back to Latin Poetry Rhythms. This is the second podcast in a series on what I like to call rhythmic fluency. In the first one, we heard dactylic hexameter, focusing on the principal caesura, diaresis, and I talked about the importance of natural word accent as opposed to ictus accent. Today, we'll listen to hendecasyllables, and I may then anger people with my thoughts on scansion. But I do have an alternative way of doing things. So without further ado, let's start out with hendecasyllables. That snippet was from no poem in particular, because hendecasyllable is the most standard of meters. With a few small variations, what you just heard is pretty much it. This meter differs from dactylic hexameter in that it does not have any natural pauses. I presume this is because the meter is so short itself. The word hendecasyllable means 11 syllables, and some lines of dactylic hexameter have 17. So it's quite a bit shorter, which means the sense tends to stay within one line, or maybe two lines. But still, there's no, or I should say not as much need to break this one up. As a result, this goes by pretty quickly. In fact, when I recite this to this audio file, I sometimes let a whole line go by, and then I come in on the next one. The only rhythmic variation you'll run into is within the first two syllables. The previous snippet began with two longs, right? A spondi, two long syllables. But what if you have a long and a short syllable? Well, I let that shaker play first, and then I adjust. I don't change the whole rest of the line just because of that first beat. So it'll sound something like this. Let me just play that first part again. What you're going to hear is that shaker and then the drum. What's happening is the drum is resting a little bit, and this is what I do when the second syllable is short. We can take this in context using Catullus 1, line 2. Arida. It's not arida. That I is short. So let's listen to two files back to back. The normal one and then that variation, which happens to be the first two lines of Catullus 1. Qui dono lepidum novum libellum arida. Arida modopum hic expolitum. And if that first syllable is short, follow the same idea of just resting for that first note of the shaker. It'll sound like this. I'll play that first part one more time. And we can stick with Catullus 1. That would be line 4. Meas es saliquit putare nugas. If you caught the first podcast, you'll notice that I'm just accenting these words as they normally are. Meas esse aliquid putare nugas. Now I'm going to play those three in a row. But we can put them in context because we do have Catullus 1. So that'll be the first very common rhythm. Then the line in which the second syllable is short, then back to the very common rhythm, Cornelli, and then we'll end with the one that has the first syllable being short. ¶¶ as you can hear, it gets a little funky in there, very dancey. There's some hip-hop elements. I think this is very accessible. And if you were to dance this, you would count it as something like 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, or 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Of course, if you're musically inclined, you know that counting doesn't make sense, but it doesn't have to when it comes to dance. Even then, it's in 9, so that would be 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 8, 9. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 8. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5, and 8. I encourage you to go to magisterp.com and download the longer version of that most common rhythm. And now, scansion. This is the point at which I probably lose all of the critical friends I just gained. However, hear me out, quiso. There are 3 major problems with scansion, and I'm going to talk about those now. First, when we scan, we're concerned with the syllable quantities, and there are only 2 options, long or short. So why are we marking both? Seriously, we're doing about twice as much work than we have to. If it's not one, it's the other. Second, this business of marking those quantities above a line of poetry is quite misleading, especially for those who use macrons. Now, there are others who disagree and say that macrons are a crutch. All you have to do is send me some proof of that, and then I'll reevaluate my life. But until then, I'm going to use them always. They are paramount in attaining fluency, both rhythmically and generally speaking. Back to marking them. When we mark above the line, we lose the distinction between syllable quantity and vowel quantity. Meter has to do with syllables, not vowels. We know that you can have a long syllable with a short vowel because of that double consonant rule. That doesn't change the vowel into a long one. It just makes that syllable long. This is a distinction that many people forget. That changes the meaning sometimes, greatly. My solution to these first 2 problems is, first, I only mark the long syllables. Again, if it's not long, it's short. Secondly, because I use macrons normally, I make the further distinction between syllable and vowel quantity by underlining syllables long by position, that is, containing a short vowel or long vowel, but followed by 2 consonants. Right. So I don't have marks above the line itself because the long vowels already have macrons, and I underline long syllables by position. The result is much less clutter, and it really does draw attention to the language itself. The third problem is a big one, for which I do not have a solution. But here's the analogy. Scanning a line of poetry is about as silly as taking a sheet of music, right, that has music notation on it, and writing the exact note values that are already on the page in that staff above the line. Why? Because the information is already there. We know the rules for quantity, and if we practice them from the very beginning, which we should if we're trying to pronounce this language properly anyway, we'll know whether the penultimate is long or short, and why it's long or short. By the time we're reading poetry, the information, again, is right there. Longs and short should jump right out of the page, as if it were notated like music. And why does this problem not have a solution? Well, you can't really stop the machine, right? Students will be tested on something like this. even though I find it a little pointless. Needless to say, that's why at some point I do mention that there is a traditional way of doing this, but it really doesn't take more than, you know, a day to touch upon it. And more of our time is spent on actually in the language itself. Another point, someone has said to me that, oh, well, scansion is just a way of analyzing a sentence like you would diagramming. Okay, well, we diagram sentences because it's not always obvious what agrees with what in a line of Latin. But again, if we practice these quantities from the very beginning and have proper accentuation, it all comes around full circle, and we won't have to put in the time to analyze poetry and meter using this kind of silly practice. But if you must, I implore you to start underlining those syllables long by position. Forget about the little short marks. And the world will be a better place. In this podcast, we heard hendecasyllables. And then I went on my rant about scansion. In the next and final podcast, we'll listen to perhaps the coolest rhythm that the Romans had in their arsenal, the choliambic, or scazone, or limping iambic. And then I'll finish with a little bit on simplified pronunciation of vowels. Avete, acque valete.